The summer blockbuster extravaganza rolls on with, my God, Speed 2 Cruise Control. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Seda.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Everyone, welcome to We Hate Movies on the Sideshow Network. Thank you for tuning in, as always. Now, this week, like we said at the top, before that theme song, the summer blockbuster extravaganza rolls on. Talking about Speed 2 from 1997, directed by WHM kind of regular at this point, Jan de Baum.
Oh.
Because he directed The Haunting, he directed Twister, and here we are at Speed 2. Snooze Control.
Somebody needed to say it.
Somebody said it on IMDb message boards when I just took it. But
yeah, cite your sources.
Honestly, though, if you are coming up with a sequel that's lazy and boring, why put Cruise Control in there?
Cruise Control is the opposite of speed, right? Like, that's the whole gag. It's I could just, you know.
It's like a maintained.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want to get pulled over. Better use cruise control to set it at a nice, you know, law-abiding pace. Quite the opposite of the first Speed movie.
Yikes.
Where you had to be, what was it, above 50 miles?
Above 50
miles.
55,
I think.
Was it 55?
Maybe
it's 50. 50. Yeah, 50's a little cleaner.
Point is,
50 is a little sexier. You know, when you're in a pitch, Eric, when you go into a Hollywood pitch meeting, you don't want to go in there with 55 miles an hour. Who's this fucking clown? No. You go in with 50 miles an hour. Like, that's an idea. Now, that's an idea I could put on a poster.
Wow. All right. Yeah.
And put it on a poster, they did. This was, I was saying to Eric before we went on the air, this is one of the first movies I remember being like, yeah, I'm going to skip this in theaters.
I skipped this until last night.
Ditto.
Really?
Yeah.
You both dodged this bullet?
And that was a bit of a speed head back then. That was on heavy rotation on the old VCR.
Pills, you were always cleaning your house.
Poppers, so uppers, zips and zaps. Steve Sadak had all of it.
Reds. No, I meant the movie.
Oh.
I like the movie speed.
Oh, I thought you were talking about amphetamines. Pardon me.
A little from column A, a little from column B. Well, I feel like if you were on amphetamine, speed wouldn't be enough for you. Like, what? The fuck are we going back to Jeff Daniels for? I got to sit through Jeff Daniels' funeral.
That is a sad scene in that movie. There's no one, like, here's the thing. Spoiler alert from a 1994 movie. When Jeff Daniels dies in that movie, it's like he hits, like, the tripwire in Dennis Hopper's house, and it's like, he has that moment of like, oh, and well, like,
mommy.
Oh, he says mommy.
No,
right?
No, he doesn't. No, but it's,
doesn't he?
It's
no,
a,
he
it's
says,
a bug for the camera.
He, doesn't he say, it was just cans?
Oh, no, I think you're thinking of star Keanu Reeves.
Oh, okay. That's when he dies, right?
Yeah. But when Jeff Daniels dies, you're like fucking sad because it's like a character you kind of like.
Yeah.
In this movie, in Speed 2 Cruise Control, not one of these fuckers would die and I'd blink.
And you don't care about any character. You don't like any character.
There's not a single likable person. I even hate the little deaf girl in this movie.
Oh, I hate her.
Yeah, I agree. You know what? She needs to be in line with her parents. You know what? No, no one needs you gallivanting around a cruise ship and taking elevators
also,
for no reason.
What are you talking to these older men across from the hibachi grill for, whatever the hell they're at?
Oh, when they're flirting in sign language, her and Jason Patrick?
Yeah.
Dude, there is a part in this movie where Jason Patrick saves this little girl's life, and she's like, oh, thanks for saving me. By the way, next month I'm going to be 15. Yikes. Yikes movie.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yikes, because there's all this chaos around you. If there was a moment to strike, it's now.
Oh, man. I'll tell you, right from Jump Street, you know that this movie's going to be a disaster, and you feel like the company kind of didn't care about it. Because, and correct me if I'm wrong, or maybe you didn't notice, but I swear, at least on my Amazon stream, the 20th Century Fox theme song sounded out of tune. It's like we have that little confidence in this movie. We're going to play the theme song wrong.
By the way, speaking of 20th Century Fox, This movie's entering a nice little a nice bucket you might call longer than Star Wars, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, big time.
That's what you want in a movie that's supposed to be fun and exciting and quick action, easy breezy.
You know, fast-paced.
What is also crazy about that is cruise ships are real. The Death Star is not. I feel like I know more about the Death Star after Star Wars. Like, what are they... there's no reason for it to being that long.
No.
And... it doesn't handle its geography right. It's just
I know nothing about this
shit.
Cruise ship. Actually, better cruise ship movie, Jason Takes Manhattan.
Mm, yeah. Yes.
At least we're utilizing like different areas of the ship. Jason goes to the sauna. Jason goes to the dance club. There's the boxing gym. You know, there's the, you know, the different rooms and whatnot. This is like...
a couple of cabin kills in that movie?
Oh, a couple of cabin kills. This movie's like, I think they're just redecorating the same cabin to make it look like Sandra Bullock's room, Willem Dafoe's room,
there's
the bridge.
Shop.
Yeah, there's like a mall you sort of see and like a dining room. I mean... this thing had money behind it. That first Speed was super successful.
Sure.
Let's get the set of the Titanic and just, you know, modernize it a little bit.
Wait, modernize the Titanic?
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
I feel like when Keanu said no, that was a hole in the hull of the boat that just, it could not, Fox was just like, you know, bailing out the entire time and it just didn't happen.
And just because there's a thing in a contract that's like, hey, if this first movie's successful, like, we, you know, reserve the right to make a sequel and, like, force you to star in it, Sandra Bullock. It doesn't mean you have to do it.
No. Actually, she did it to finance Hope Floats.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, now, what is Hope Floats?
It's one of those Sandra Bullock movies that I've never seen.
I'm guessing she's walking around. It's autumn.
Yeah.
Maybe she cries a little.
She probably does. I mean, she probably talks to people, I'm going to guess.
Oh, yeah, talking.
Is Hope Floats her and Harry Connick Jr., I believe?
Yes, because there's the other one if by boat, two if by sea or whatever.
The hell is that?
Is that an alternate title for Speed 2?
No, which is the one where it's her and Dennis Leary playing grifters?
Oh,
isn't it just called Two If By Sea?
It is just Two If By Sea.
Yeah. Oh, man. There are some, like, before she was famous Sandra Bullock movies that, like, shouldn't exist. And they definitely, because I was looking through her filmography last night, because, my God, watching this movie, I needed to be distracted. They do the thing on a lot of DVD covers. Like, her first movie was, like, 87 or something.
Yeah.
All those movies where she's probably, like, a nothing bit character, but she's, like, an Oscar winner now. So the DVD's, like... an Academy Award winner, Sandra Bullock, and she's on this cover, and she probably realistically has like 5 minutes of screen
time. Well, that's in the cover to Stealth. You would think that Jamie Foxx was the plane. You know what I mean? Like, the thing is like, oh, Jamie Foxx plays a plane. It's weird. Netflix covers, that we're getting into that world now, because which I don't understand, like, you're not just porting the cover art. You want to, like, just make your own, like, little thumbnail cover. And usually they're terrible.
They're absolutely terrible. The Netflix graphic department needs, like, a talking to.
Well, I think it's all these people sending it, you know, the
they're making fan art?
Yeah, they're going off Tumblr? Just
all the
indie
distributors of film are basically fan art. It's basically a DeviantArt page.
Well, that's the way, like, The Office has had, like, six.
Yeah, they rotate
them. It changes
them
quite a bit.
Like... you know what hasn't changed? Fucking Cheers. That's the same cover.
Yep.
Because why would you bother? It's Cheers. I know what it looks like.
By the way, when Keanu dropped out of this movie, Fox, I guess, ran a little negative spin campaign on him.
What?
Because he dropped out to do Devil's Advocate.
I thought he dropped out because he wanted to go on tour with Dogstar.
That's what Keanu's saying is propaganda.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Brian? Did you tell the Hollywood Reporter that I was going on tour with Dogstar? God damn you, Brian!
Dogstar is just a group of fans. We just kind of hang out sometimes. That's our poker group, Brian.
Dude, I would love it if Dogstar was just like a fake thing that he used to hang out with people. That'd be awesome. Unfortunately, I have all too real memories of Dogstar having like albums come out. I think Keanu played bass.
Yes, I think he was a bass player.
Yeah,
I have no memory of Dogstar.
Yeah, and I think that may be a Stan Brakhage reference, like Dogstar Man. Maybe, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know the history of how the band got that name. Wait, so he dropped out to do Devil's Advocate, but it was like Fox was like, He wants to go on tour with his band?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess he probably was going on tour with his band anyway, and they're like, oh, that Keanu Reeves is just so busy with his band. It's like when someone doesn't come to a family birthday party and your mom starts talking shit.
Oh, you know yep, what I mean? You never hear the end of it.
Oh, I guess movies can just drop dead then, huh? Is that how it is? I guess that's how it is.
But God, I mean, that Keanu Reeves, ever since he moved to the city, forget about it. And that new girlfriend.
We're not going to see him at Thanksgiving, I'll tell you that much.
I'm movies. He never calls me anymore.
You know, you might as well skip Speed 3 if that's your attitude.
Oh, man, do you think they were like, maybe we'll get him back for the next one?
What would it be? In space?
It has to be in space, right?
Isn't that just what Gravity was?
And I think this would be more like Airplane 2.
Speed 3, the sequel?
Yeah, and it's the first jetliner going to the moon.
Oh, yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm. We have to get these people air.
Yeah, exactly.
Cohagen.
Wow, I never thought I needed Keanu Reeves starring in Total Recall.
Oh, yeah,
they should have got him instead of Colin Farrell.
Get your ass to Mars.
Yeah, I can see it happening. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we start this movie with a high-speed motorcycle chase, cross-cut against Sandra Bullock taking a hilarious driving test.
Oh, yeah, in a classic car, a VW thing. Now, I don't know if you noticed this car. And if you're going to watch the movie now after listening to this show, look at the car. Oh, what is that? Oh, this car is... Oh, it's just a Nazi Jeep. Which is actually what Volkswagen reissued, and they just painted it fun colors.
It was called the Thing?
Yeah, it was called the VW Thing.
Oh, that's stupid. How do you think she got her hands on this one?
I don't know.
We never know her last name. It's just Annie.
Don't they, like, give it in this movie,
though? They?
I think that's
Annie Lennox?
The IMDb it's Tribune.
It's Von Ribbentrop.
Yes, that's right, actually. Annie Von Ribbentrop.
Well, she's Annie definitely has a type, because Jason Patrick is really made up to look like Keanu Reeves in this movie.
Oh, without question. We're talking similar haircut. You're going so far as similar haircuts. And he's like chasing some dude who's driving a diaper truck
full of computers.
And you know what? Like, honestly, this is way like, and they're like, all it is just a bunch of stolen computers, which what? $9,000 tops. This does not require a high speed chase.
This is a manhunt.
People get murdered. People like, die.
It's like the Blues Brothers with the amount of cruisers that are staking this thing out and chasing it.
Oh, we're blocking off roads.
Yeah,
like you know, you got to get them to cut through the canyon so we can cut them off at the pass.
It's like, is it supercomputers? Is this like Bill Gates' personal property? Like,
it's just a bunch of crap in the back of a car. It's junk, let him go.
It's you know,
get the license and get him at the next town.
And yep. You know what? We eventually see like these boxes tumbling off this truck, and they're just empty cardboard boxes that go nowhere. Show me computers smashing.
They're just boxes. They're just empty boxes.
Oh shit, dude, it's a decoy truck. The real computer truck's across town.
And the biggest fucking tease of this movie. One of my heroes, you know him, you love him, Joe Morton, reprising his role
as Mac.
As Mac for like
5 seconds.
Tops. There's like 3 shots of Joe Morton in this movie. Why bother?
He should find a way on the boat. It's
yes.
Like, oh, I want to bring my boss on my boat.
Wait, you on the boat?
It's my Jason Patrick impression. Because I'm just bored of it.
You gotta sound sleepy and bored. Well, you feel bad for him, too, because he was like, I'll do this movie if you make a couple of script changes, supposedly, again.
Oh, really?
Citing sources, the IMDb Tribune.
What the fuck are you making script changes to get Jason Patrick to do a movie?
I don't know. But then, like, he got to set, and they didn't make him, and he'd signed the papers.
We're all the dinosaurs! Hey!
This boat isn't traveling through time! What the fuck happened to my changes?
And when do we get to Skull Island? Wait, there's no Skull Island?
I'm not fighting Kong.
All right, when Robert Englund gets in, just let me know because I wanted to have breakfast with him.
I want to talk about how he sees me as the new leader of the Dream Warriors. Wait, what's not happening? Oh, come on.
What do you mean there's no Freddy Krueger?
Man, Speed 2 Kruger Control?
Oh, yeah.
Without question, oh, better dude, movie.
The poster is Freddy Krueger with like a dog leash around his neck. Gonna make him heal.
Yes, I like that. And I also, because like it would be Freddy Krueger trying to do something for money, I guess, like to stay within the Speed world. Like,
right.
You know, Freddy Krueger needs some money because like he got fired by the devil, I guess.
The devil let me go!
And then he realized, oh,
30 years of service down the tubes!
Wait, what do janitors make nowadays? Oh, wages are stagnant!
My God, a high school diploma is worthless! Oh!
I could hijack their dreams for money! Yeah.
Dude, the cover is, it's like Freddy Krueger on the cruise ship. He's wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
I'm supposed to be on vacation.
I love it. I love all of it.
So good. So much better than Speed 2 Cruise Control.
Yeah. And then, like, as Annie is driving Tim Conway around.
Comedy legend Tim Conway just slumming it in this movie as the driving instructor.
You know, and she's, like, a really bad driver or something.
Laughing my tits off at that.
And, you know, basically she's going through this whole story about, like, how nice her new boyfriend is and how her old boy, like it's just clearly, I was surprised they didn't kill off Keanu in between the two. You
right,
know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, like, well, yeah, that's why I'm thinking they were hoping for Speed 3 and trick him back in.
Listen, kill
Brian! Kill? Fucking Speed 3, Brian, seriously?
Yeah, I mean, just.
My partner's a dog.
Oh, man, that'd be good, too.
Canine right, with Speed. Yeah.
But I was going to say, like, kill him off and have this movie being going after his killer. Of some
yeah,
kind.
That's a good move.
Like, anything. Like, you can tell when a sequel loses its star from the original and you can tell they're missing them is when, like, a returning character starts the movie by, like, incessantly talking about the character who's not there because she's like, my old boyfriend Jack, blah blah blah, relationships that begin out of extreme circumstances, never like the fucking thing from the last movie, which they repeat that line like three times in this movie, like the final line of Speed is like all over this one. Fucking come, like, you're so obviously missing
you
Keanu
know what you
Reeves.
Need to do in this movie, which I'm it's crystallizing now, is you lose your one star in Keanu.
Right.
But what you do is you flip it and you fucking go full on Ripley for Speed 2. And now it's Sandra Bullock. I've been here before.
Yes.
And she's taken down
that's
Willem
Dafoe.
Exactly.
That's what it needs to happen. And honestly, when I rented this movie for the first time, I seriously thought that's what it was going to be.
Yeah.
I was like, she's been here before. Oh, cool. But the reality is she's like absent from this movie for a total of like 30 minutes.
And then when she's in the movie, she's either being instructed exactly what to do by Jason Patrick or
being punched in the face by Willem Dafoe.
Right, or like learning how to defuse a grenade or whatever. But also like she's just a damsel in distress.
Yeah, totally. It's so obnoxious. Like, cuz even in the first movie, she's driving the bus, she's like doing the thing.
Now, I haven't seen Speed in a while. And this caused some debate in my house last night. She wasn't the bus driver, right? Was she just thrust into that position?
The bus driver gets like shot or something.
Okay, good. That's
Sam
what I thought.
Sam gets shot.
Oh, wow, nice.
Yeah, I've seen Speed a few times.
Is it a thing where she's like buddies with the bus driver?
Yeah, everyone's buddy with the bus driver.
Yeah, they're all miserable wretches.
It's like that movie Heart and Souls with Robert Downey Jr. where all those people are miserable on the bus and they all die.
I'll take your word for it, but...
Dude, that's a guilty pleasure Andrew Jupin rom-com.
Oh, that actually...
Because it's like a ghost rom-com.
He's got a couple of ghost rom-coms, right?
Is he really?
Who, RDJ?
Yeah, he's in that one, and then isn't he the one where it's like, oh, I...
Ghost? That was Patrick Swayze.
No, he's
I think you're thinking of Ghost... There was a Ghost
Gozer,
of...
The,
Ghost Ghost the Magnificent.
Gozer the Gozerian?
Do you take this woman? To be your lover, bride.
Wait, what movie?
It's Robert Downey Jr. and he's like, no, he's like the reincarnated so and so, and like some old lady's trying to fuck him, or not old lady, but like in her 40s.
That's Chaplin.
No,
are you thinking of Sir Richard Attenborough's Chaplin?
No, incorrect. Someone right into the mailbag.
I thought, isn't that, that's kind of part of Heart and Souls, though, like, because the ghosts, like, go into him, I think?
Yeah, no,
and he takes on different personas?
Now
I'm getting it. You can keep talking about Gozer.
No, but maybe you were thinking of...
Gozerian?
The ghost of girlfriend's past. Right now, McConaughey, is he a ghost or are the girls ghosts? They're all dead girls.
I think it's a Christmas tale or a Christmas story. What is it? It's a Christmas Carol.
No, it's Ted Bundy. And
I think that Ghost of Girlfriend's Past is a movie where it's like a Christmas Carol and he's like a Scrooge type thing.
And
what, it's like, see how you fucked up with ladies over your lifetime.
So it's like the ghost of the past that shows you, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. It's all in the past.
Is there a ghost of girlfriend's future?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
It didn't make a nickel, so probably not.
Steve is still looking this thing up, but like, just another thing about the intro to this movie and whatnot is she's telling this story about Keanu Reeves getting her a birthday present, and she's like, my last boyfriend, Jack, for my birthday bought me pepper spray. I thought it was perfume, and I ended up in the emergency room.
How do you not know what perfume is versus what pepper spray is?
I just thought it was a manly perfume.
Sex Panther? Yeah. Paul Rudd's Sex Panther? I mean, this chase scene ends, like, she crashes a car into the police car. Like, there are two, like, chases come to a head. They run into each other.
Yeah, that's just good screenwriting.
And the whole time she's like, oh, my new boyfriend is like a beach cop. All I'm thinking about at this point, by the way, is watching the USA Network's Pacific Blue. You remember that show? Mario Lopez as a bike cop on the beach?
How is that not turned into a movie at this point?
Right, I think they tried to do that with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. It was that, what was it? High
Rush.
Velocity? Rush, yeah. Premium Rush.
Premium blend.
So you got this movie?
It's called Chances Are.
Oh, Chances Are.
Yeah, Ryan O'Neal, I think, dies or something. And he comes
back. That's all right.
And he comes back as RDJ and starts laying pipe on old ladies.
Well, yeah, like Cybill Shepherd's trying to get in there.
Well, yeah, what hasn't she tried to get into?
She didn't try to get into Speed 2 Cruise Control.
That would be great if Cybill Shepherd was, if there was like a touring company, like doing a production of something. the weird thing is like, so she confronts, he's like, oh, he's a bike cop, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But he's a sociopathic liar.
Sure.
Right.
Which is creepy.
Oh, yeah.
He's really like a super cop because he's driving this motorcycle. And by this point, he jumps off of it and basically throws the motorcycle into this van to stop it.
Right. And Joe Morton, by the way, even has some line that's like, hey, Jason Patrick, this guy's like kind of low on the list, so no reason to like go crazy with this one. Like, please don't crash this motorcycle, etc. But so she's like talking to Tim Conway like, oh, my boyfriend's a beach cop and whatever. And then he comes up right behind her, like covered in sweat, like, oh, how was the driving test? And you have some, like, cop, this, like, glorified extra that's like, oh, man, you're the fucking wild machine.
He's, like, from this, like, Brooklyn Jamoke comes up from nowhere. He's like, oh, that's the fucking guy I'm talking about. Look at this fucking jabroni over here. Like, what are you talking? You're in Los Angeles. What is this guy doing in this movie?
Then, I hate when that happens in movies, man.
And she has this weird line that's like, she says, like, you told me you're not on the Suicide Squad.
Oh.
And you know what I was thinking about?
Queen songs?
No. I was thinking about DC's Suicide Squad, right?
Out in theaters in August,
right? Imagine if it was all those guys, all those famous villains.
That, like, Lizard Man?
Right. Lizard Man.
Is that Killer Croc?
That is Killer Croc.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And then that's Jason Patrick.
Yeah, they all have, like,
as this Speed 2 character. Oh, the Joker, the Killer Croc, Katana, and Speed 2.
And Speed 2's Jason Patrick. His power is making people take a nap in front of their TV for 2 hours and 5 minutes.
He's gonna drive that sequel right into the fucking wall is what he's going to do at 98 miles an hour.
Well, isn't, what's his name, Joel Kinnaman?
Yep.
In the movie, isn't he like a normal person who's like tasked with organizing them or whatnot, handling them?
Yeah.
That could be this Jason Patrick character. And then they kill him instantly, and then they have to bring in a tough guy, Joel Kinnaman. That's what you do.
Burial at sea for that guy, right?
I think that Jason Patrick could have made a pretty good RoboCop.
You know what? Maybe.
Like post-brain injury Murphy, right?
Keep the helmet on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a helmet of the whole time kind of deal.
Yeah. Like, for all those flashbacks and shit, I don't know. keep that to a minimum. Less Jason Patrick screen time. So Sandra's all upset and whatnot.
She should break up with this dude.
Right then and there.
The last thing you want to do, ladies and gentlemen, is when you find out that your boyfriend, your partner, has been serially lying to you, is to get on a boat with that person.
Mm-hmm.
Then you know what happens on boats.
You get pushed off.
Yeah.
You go for a swim.
The
deep
drink.
Dive. So she's like, I'm so mad at you right now. And he's like, oh, well, good thing I brought these to work with me today. Here's two tickets for a cruise. I'm like, leave that in the duffel bag back at the precinct.
Yes, that's a locker situation.
Why are these cruise tickets in your fucking bulletproof vest?
Why are you doing that when you're riding on a motorcycle 100 miles an hour?
You lose those tickets, man. You want to talk about non-refundable. What's that, like $7,000 down the drain?
Oh.
Cruises aren't cheap.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
One of the good ones.
All right, I'll check on my phone. Hold
Anybody
on.
Ever been on a cruise?
I have been on a cruise.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Did you get the neurovirus?
No, that was before people were getting that classic gag. No, it was in the early aughts.
Uh-huh.
Went on a family cruise. We did like a split. It was like half the vacay in Disney World. And then we went on a cruise ship that was all Looney Tunes characters.
Oh, it was not the Big Red Boat?
It was the Big Red Boat, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That sounds terrifying.
Well, actually, I'll tell you, there was an instance where it was, like, weird. Like, I was a teenager at the time. I was, like, kind of aged out of Disney World and whatnot. I'd never been there, so it was, like,
yeah,
it was fine, you know. But we go on this cruise ship, and I was like, all right, that's cool. Buffets. Hey, look, here's a little fucking fat teenager. Buffet time.
Not enough fat teenagers in this movie. But
you needed them.
Oh,
you needed
yeah,
them.
Especially for the body count.
So, like, there was this one time where it was like, oh, I'm going to leave dinner and go up and, do whatever activities. And I go to go on the elevator, and I must have, like, accidentally gotten over to, like, a staff elevator or something. Door swings open. This is the Big Red Boat, so there's all these like Looney Tunes characters dancing around and shit. There is a dude playing Marvin the Martian with the helmet off, and he's holding the head of the costume like under his arm, and the door opens, and I'm like, oh, you're breaking the reality right now. And the guy's looking at me like, oh, no. And then, like, I didn't get on, and the doors just closed.
Is this movie better or worse if Willem Dafoe is playing a guy playing Marvin the Martian that happens to be a terrorist?
You know it's better.
You so do know the answer to that question. It's definitely better.
I'm on in three.
Sorry, boys. Showtime.
Yeah, exactly. Like, inside the helmets, all the bombs or whatever.
Well, see, it would be great, right? Like, he goes up against Jason Patrick, and, like, Jason Patrick bumps into Marvin the Martian. And he's like, watch where you're going, stupid creature, and whatever. And then, like, he starts pushing him back, and it's like, oh, man, is this guy going to fight a costumed right. character and,
get
and
your
whatnot?
Ass to Mars.
Yeah, and then, like, he pulls out a gun, and it's like Marvin the Martian holding a pistol on him.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. And then he takes off his head, and he's doing his Willem Dafoe witch laugh. That's what he's got, right?
Yeah.
That's a witch laugh.
Yeah, of course. It's a nice cackle.
So, yeah, this woman, all of her friends must have been like, don't get on a boat with this guy. Like,
he did what? Oh, we understand a free vacation, but don't get on a boat with this guy.
We're on the boat, and Willem Dafoe is looking for these golf clubs. Like, the first thing you see is that he grabs this little bellboy, and he's like, I'm very upset right now. And you're like, what are you talking about, Willem Dafoe? And, like, basically, he's waiting for he's like, where are my fucking golf clubs?
You misplaced them, and I demanded you find them. And then the guy's like, oh, this obnoxious bellhop character that you just want to see dipped in acid is just like, oh, we found him. I'm going to take care of this nice little couple right here, and then I'm going to come up to your room with your golf clubs. And he's like, they're very important to me. They're definitely golf clubs and not instruments for terrorism.
And then he goes into his room, closes the door, releases a bag full of eels. Leeches, like little jars of leeches. Like, well, boys, we made it. And it's like, what am I watching?
Oh, man, it's so awesome. Because what does he say? He's like, time to wake up, boys. And you're like, ew, where are you putting those?
Oh, man.
I was like, what's this movie rated? Quick check.
Really, they are trying to do everything on a cruise ship, right? Yeah.
Who wants to come to my cabin for some dick leeches?
The great thing about it is it leeches onto my boner, right? So I can stay harder longer because it's kind of siphoning off the hard-on a little bit, you know? It's like a give and take.
Honey, let's go to the midnight buffet instead.
Sure, I'm not as hard as I normally am without the leeches, but it's sustained.
Small price to pay, boys.
Yeah, you're right. I think Willem Dafoe is somebody that catalogs his erections.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, definitely.
He's
that was a good one. 89.
Pulls out a moleskin notebook.
January 13th, 1994. Zero. That was a sad day for me and the leeches.
There was an episode of My Strange Addiction.
Is that the show where people are like eating toilet paper?
That's
and
like
shit?
The entire show is people.
Every episode, someone is eating toilet paper.
I think I only saw one episode when someone was like, "I want to fuck a building." but I'll rub it.
Quick recommendation. I think we've brought it up on this show before. I Married the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, which is a great
film. That's what you were thinking of?
Yeah.
Oh, classic weirdo doc, man. These fucking people have problems.
Well, it's a romantic icon.
But my strange addiction, it's a guy that's addicted to having leeches on him every day. Like, he thinks it's like, he's like this weird, like, eccentric guy. He's like,
you don't say?
He's like, it takes away all the toxins from my body. Like, one of those weirdos.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Like, those things where it's like, you just put those, like, pads on your feet that you bought off the TV at 3 a.m. They suck all the toxins right out.
Mm-hmm.
/ somehow also probably give you brain cancer.
Which enables you to buy more.
So, Sandy and Jason Patrick getting a drink. Sandy talks up Willem Dafoe at the bar for a second. You don't even see this conversation, which you want to see it, right?
Because it's like the two actors that I know better.
That I could watch in a movie?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, can we please hear what they have to say? Oh, what's that? I'm just going to watch Jason Patrick brood at them.
Oh, he's stewing about it.
I'm going to kill her. Oh my God, I'm going to kill her.
Yeah. She gets back and she's like, here's your drink. He's like, what does your new boyfriend have to say? And I'm like, whoa, this is getting real aggressive real quick.
You're on a boat with this dude. Listen, Sandra Bullock, make some fucking friends.
He's been lying to you this whole time. You don't even, anything you know about this guy's probably a lie.
Right. But this guy puts leeches on his dick. I just found out. It's exciting.
That's what he's leading with? Like, hey, you gotta come back to my room and meet the boys? Meet the gang?
Got a team of boys back at my cabin. They really do a number on me.
I call them the Boondock Saints.
Because they totally suck.
Me off.
Oh, yeah.
Duffy!
This one's Duffy, and this one's little Norman Reedus. He's the strongest out of all of them. My apologies for Willem Dafoe. You don't sound like Stanley, but you kind of do.
And yeah. This wily little one is Billy Connolly.
Man, those movies suck a dog's ass.
Uh-huh.
Huh, well, just had to get that out.
So Willem Dafoe gets his golf clubs. And here's the thing. I don't know what Willem Dafoe's doing in this movie.
I don't know what
he's actually physically in the movie for, but I don't know what his character's up to.
Well, I just bought a boat, Steve.
So let's get into that motivation, right? Because apparently he worked for the cruise company to develop this, like,
guidance system.
Yeah,
literally the cruise control. He developed the titular cruise control.
And it's so annoying, too, because, like, the captain goes into the bridge and it's just like, good morning, captain. Let's use the interactive menu to captain the ship today.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, see, driving a cruise ship's pretty easy, isn't it? No, it's not. That's involved movie.
And apparently the cruise company fired Willem Dafoe when he got sick. Is this why the leeches are happening?
So as Willem Dafoe explains it across 7 different scenes, he worked night and day on a computer to program this guidance system, the cruise control.
That's why you get 2 programmers, by the way. But you go on.
Yeah, you're right, Steve. And he says something, and I don't know if this is true or not, and I feel like it's not, but who knows, that, like, I live night and day in front of this computer, and it made me sick. And he got some sort of like blood poisoning from the magnetism of these computers.
Yeah, okay.
And so then, like, instead of paying for his health care, like, the cruise company fired him, and the leeches suck the copper out of his blood, which, like, keeps him alive longer.
What in the hell?
Listen, I didn't write the movie. I'm just telling you what Willem Dafoe told me last night.
No, he's the most boring person in Suicide Squad, I think.
I'm the leech. Get sucking, boys.
I sit in the back while the guys do their stuff, and I get the copper out of my blood.
I stand in the back of the Suicide Squad and catalog my boners. Hey, Joker, want to have a laugh off?
Oh, man. Willem Dafoe could have played the Joker.
He could. No, you know what? I did the Green Goblin. They were like, no, that's it. Once you sign on.
Here's the thing. Once you reboot it three times, you can be whatever you want to be.
That's fair.
Has there ever been, comic book expert Steve Sadak, like an old Joker story?
Yeah, I'm sure there's been. I mean, the Dark Knight Dark Knight Rises.
Batman 1989.
Yeah, you know what? You got me there.
No, he's only 62 in that movie.
It's great. No, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But
I mean, that would be cool if he was like, if this dumbass Jared Leto thing, presumably dumbass. Don't know. I don't know.
You're gonna get letters.
I know, yeah. But I'm saying.
You went in to hate it. You went in there hating it.
Read a fucking comic book. You went right in wanting to hate it.
Yeah, I have eyeballs and I don't like things.
I think that Jared Leto looks particularly stupid. I don't know if it's going to be terrible, but if that didn't exist, what I'm saying is you could have this standalone old Bruce Wayne movie and have Willem Dafoe play this older Joker.
Well, that's a Dark Knight Returns movie that everybody always wants.
Nobody's going to get it.
Maybe Bale will do it when he's like 60. You know,
Bale's not coming back.
Bale's
long gone. Sorry, but that's the truth.
Yeah, that's fair.
Everyone wants him back, but he's not coming back.
So we got a couple of wily supporting characters on this cruise ship, including such luminaries as the fat guy from Friends and Wayne's World, who's been around. He's a pretty funny dude.
He is. He's a very funny person.
Patricia Darbo, I believe her name is, from Step by Step. She played Suzanne Summers' sister at the hair salon. She's floating around in this movie.
You know what's kind of hilarious about that Step by Step hair salon is eventually they close. It was always in the kitchen.
Yeah, off the kitchen.
You go into the right, you go right into the hair salon. But eventually that door just closed forever, and then they just kind of forgot that happened.
Wasn't someone living there though for a while?
Well, I feel the code man was living like in a truck outside.
The
like
code man had his fucking creep van out in the driveway.
Yeah, I've never seen Step by Step.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Were you not a fan of the TGIF lineup in the 1990s?
Well, no. I was putting leeches on my dick on Friday night.
Putting leeches on your dick watching Highlander 2 on a shag carpet?
No, exactly. I was watching important films. Yeah, I never watched the Friday
Night
lineup.
Wait, so have you like never seen Urkel? Like
I've
prime
seen
Urkel?
Only a handful.
Really?
Only a handful, yeah.
I think I spent the better part of a decade watching The Adventures of Steve Urkel.
Way till it was way too late.
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah. It was like there'd been more than one Steve Urkel robot, and I was still watching it. There was an Urkelbot 2.0.
I feel like if you did open that door that used to hold the salon, though, like a big fucking sandworm got you. Like in the last season of Step by Step, you walk out and you're in the middle of sand and a sandworm gets you.
The later years of that show did the biggest fucking sin of all time and gave them more kids.
Whatever,
like
man.
She got pregnant and had twins or something. How many do you fucking need? It's already a crass Brady Bunch. That's what I'm sold on. I don't need more of these little mongrels.
Ugh.
Remember the one girl had a pet pig?
Yeah, well, they did everything on that show.
So Speed 2, what else we got? Oh, we got Jango Fett as part of the crew.
Oh, man.
Temuera Morrison.
He's awful. He is.
He truly is awful.
Terrible.
He's so bad in this movie.
He's awful. But I think you could sell me on a Temuera Morrison as like right now as like an aged cop, like an aged New Zealand cop.
Oh, sure.
That gets killed in the first 5 minutes, right? Because then I'm on board. But
no, Sam Jackson decapitates him at the end of the movie. He's not in the movie.
That's also, yeah, his career got decapitated too. I looked him up on IMDb last night.
Yeah, nothing?
He was like some random Scorpion King sequel.
Oh, man. Dude, there's like a baker's dozen of secret Scorpion King movies.
Jango Fett is firmly in the grave looking at IMDb.
You know, that's what he should be fucking like. You know, sticking to the Flight of the Conchords and something. You know what I mean? Like, that's a fun movie.
Sure. Yeah. Hey, by the way, quick plug for New Zealand cinema. The new Taika Waititi movie, the guy who did What We Do in the Shadows, and he's doing the new Thor movie. Mm-hmm. Dude, Hunt for the Wilder People with Sam Neill. Fucking awesome movie coming out this summer. Total recommend. I saw it the other day, and I have to plug.
Now what is Sam Neill doing in that? No dinosaurs, huh?
No, he's it's kind of like he and his wife adopt this kid who's like kind of like a problem child, not like junior problem child. It's like an at risk like shelter kid. And then like
it's still funny.
They go on this adventure in like the bush, kind of a thing.
Oh, okay.
It's fucking awesome.
But Temuera Morrison is terrible in this movie.
Yes.
He's terrible in everything.
He's terrible in those prequels.
Yeah, he's bad in those movies.
Awful.
He's a bit doughy.
Yeah, I was noticing that too. I mean, Jango Fett, now he was kind of dumpy.
The Mandalorian girdle, you're thinking?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And then I'm just like, looking at his doughy body in this. I'm body shaming Jango Fett big time. And I'm just like, why would they use him to clone for these stormtroopers?
Well, you just need the DNA. I mean, you got to
clone troopers. Pardon me.
Oh yeah, please. Yes. Clone troopers.
Bite my tongue.
You know, you just make sure all those clones are, you know, doing a fitness regimen and not watching fucking Urkel.
But apparently, it didn't work because they all look like him and they all got the love handle.
Are you seeing a lot of clone troopers with their shirt off in that movie? I missed that.
If you play your cards right.
Oh, what if I'm reading your slash fiction, I guess.
You want a clone army to be a football team.
Right.
Not a fantasy rugby football team. You know what I mean?
Keep those clones away from Urkel, man. I was hypnotized for a decade. Brainwashed.
Oh, man. So
welcome, Jango Fett. Here is your bag of Doritos. We've got all of the flavors for you and all of your clones.
Good. Spicy Thai chili. My favorite. Munch. Munch, munch, munch.
Well, he's like the best bounty hunter in the galaxy, so he gets whatever he wants. Any Dorita chip in the book.
Listen, carrot cake, any size. No carrot cake is too big for the best bounty hunter in the galaxy.
It's got to be as big as the Slave One.
Yes, he's got a little notch in his helmet that opens up so he can eat while he's driving.
Might as well with the amount of times he takes that fucking helmet off in those.
Oh man,
clothes.
Eric's getting all stewed up.
Woo! Sorry, you know, I'm sorry for diverging us down.
That's
this
what. There's nothing in this movie.
Jango so Will, Fat. Willem Dafoe,
Jango Fett. How did it take us that long to get there?
Yeah, we've been talking about it for 10 minutes. We finally got to Jango Fett.
And you know, it's okay. We're just as Jango Fett.
Oh, we're Jango Fatter
as the next club. Yes, exactly.
So Willem Dafoe gets those golf clubs and he starts unscrewing them, and there's all sorts of terrorist gear inside them.
Which, you know, like the thing is, in the first movie, it made sense. Like, Hopper was a bomb squad guy. He makes a lot of good bombs.
Right.
This guy just knows about cruise ships, and he's got this, like, James Bond set of fucking golf clubs.
Yeah, where, like, the golf balls have, like, little sulfur bombs in them. You know, he's
little golf balls.
Oh, yeah. Should have had these when I played the Green Goblin. Boom, boom, Spider-Man. Avenge me!
It would have made sense. As a head of industry, he would be playing golf all the time.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Totally makes sense. So he, like, you know, unscrews all this, like, hidden computer equipment and hacks into the mainframe. Long story short, he takes over this cruise ship.
And then he kills the captain with a lamp, which is good.
It's a lamp attached to the boat. The captain could have, I don't know, walked away from it.
This captain's death is his own fault because he keeps coming after that swinging lamp.
Because he's about to address the whole, there's a big gala going on downstairs, so he gets it his nines. You know, we're set to cruise control anyway.
It's cruise ship tradition.
Sure.
That the captain comes down and has dinner in the dining room with you at least once.
So he's about to do that, and Willem Dafoe's in front of this like swinging desk lamp, and he's just like, it's like a fucking Pixar movie, and he's like, come on, hey, get closer to this lamp. And the guy should have been like, no, you creep.
Yeah,
like,
I'm just going to run away from you.
But he just knocks him over the boat.
And this is like, you know, right before he does it, you get part of like, I designed this, and you fucking fired me, Carnival Cruise Line. Or whatever. And so this dude just goes over, and it's like bad CGI.
Speaking of Carnival Cruise Line, there's that creepy commercial of it's you get a wake up call. No, I'm sorry. You get a wake up call. You're at Disney World, right?
Yeah.
And it's Goofy.
Want to play a game? Yuck.
No, he's like, it's time to wake up. I'd be like, oh, fuck. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
Goofy knows my schedule.
It's too early for that, Goofy. You know what, man? Yeah, exactly. No, you want to play a game?
Time to get up and get to the gym, you fat fuck.
Wake up. Time to die.
Oh, you sleep pretty. Yuck.
That's a little bit of a skimpy outfit you wear in a bed. Yuck.
Oh, what a winky dink. I sleep naked too, a yuck.
I saw your winky dink.
Oh no, Goofy's calling from inside the boat. And the thing is, Jason Patrick keeps trying to propose to Sandra Bullock.
I'm biting my nails as to whether or not that's going to happen. Because I care so much about these two lovebirds.
It drives me nuts. He's like carrying this ring around everywhere, like, oh my God, is this the perfect moment?
And he's a maniac.
He is.
I'm like, yep, thank God he keeps getting thwarted.
There's no evidence that he had that haircut in the beginning of the relationship. And what I'm thinking is, you know, she's like, oh, my ex-boyfriend Jack, it was a really crazy, intense relationship, but it ended.
Yeah.
And he looks up the pictures.
Are you thinking like he was an actual beach bike cop? Now he started doing all this crazy shit to be more like
he signed up to be on the Suicide Squad. Yep. He got the haircut.
Right.
Is he going to be like, hey, why don't you start calling me Jack if it makes it easier for you?
He starts hanging out with Bill Pullman because he looks enough like Jeff Daniels.
Man, if ever a movie needed the cinematic savior that is Bill Pullman.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because, by the way, Sandy Bullock and Bill Pullman in While You Were Sleeping, chemistry across the board. Chemistry as far as the eye can see. Not these two. It's like watching two dead bodies flirt with each other.
It's true.
Subtitle to While You Were Sleeping with a Peter Gallagher's face on the cover, your eyebrows kept growing.
Well, it's like a corpse, you know? Your hair grows long after your heart stops and your brain dies.
Mm-hmm.
That is true.
And your fingernails.
Those eyebrows get going. But, yeah, they have no chemistry whatsoever.
This made me think of what it's going to look like when Martin Scorsese's been dead a while.
Yeah, pray for cremation. Those eyebrows might take over the world.
They'll at least open the casket. Anyway, what you were saying?
They have no chemistry, right? They're a bunch of fucking sticks.
It's horrible.
They don't even have biology.
Bravo. They're like dancing together, and it's like, it might as well be like eighth grade holding hips dancing. Like, they just so don't want to be close to each other.
And even to nail that point home is he gets food poisoning or something, he gets seasick.
Oh, right, yeah, because they're supposed to, like, get down to fucking... and then it's, like, cut to her in the cabin watching Lolita.
Yeah.
And there's, like, puke all over the bed, and there's a bucket with puke in it. Cool.
Yeah. Can the movie just stay focused on the TV for the rest of the running time?
Yeah, I'd rather watch a Stanley Kubrick movie.
Hey, neighbor, you watching Lolita 2? Me and the leeches are watching it. Why don't you come on over?
Fondling my Benoit balls.
I give it 4 sucks up. Ouch. Ouch, Reggie, you're getting a little handsy.
Tone it down, boys.
Oh, boy. Yeah, relax, Humbert. Oh, and you relax, Humbert.
I love the movie Lolita. Does that make me weird? I watch it with my leeches.
Speaking of Lolita, this is around the time he flirts with that deaf girl.
Right, yeah. She's like they're signing like across the dining room.
Right, because he always wanted to learn another language, so he learned sign language.
Okay. Sure.
Which is fine. But
No, it's not fine. Because no one fucking does that. It's like, I had a deaf sister. I've got a, you know, some sort of deaf relative,
some type
a deaf
of
friend.
Purpose, although maybe he's learning it so he can lure someone that maybe can't talk.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? Right?
That could be.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's a good idea if you work on the bomb squad to learn sign language just in case, right?
Right.
Well, your ears go.
That's a good point.
But this is the Suicide Squad. Oh, it's not right. The Bomb Squad.
All right. They leave everyone behind if stuff goes wrong.
He's not chasing a truck full of bombs.
Which would make sense.
He's chasing a truck full of junked computer parts.
Think about how much more exciting if there was a bomb truck going to like downtown Los Angeles or something at the start of this movie.
Yeah. Sure.
God damn it.
Of course.
So, sign language, by the way, doesn't, like, you would expect that to be, like, the end of the movie is, like, he uses sign language to trick the guy.
Yes.
That's, like, a movie thing you would do.
Yeah, that doesn't happen here.
No, it's just useless.
Well, and, aside from letting this little girl hit on him.
Right.
Because, like, Sandra Bullock's like, what is she saying to you? And he's like, oh.
But think about this. He had to initiate that conversation, right?
That's true, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he starts off.
She would know.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
That's fucked up.
But
it's not. It's totally innocent.
Yeah, he's just like, you know, you having a good time. Like, yeah. He signs out, like, my name. You know, he spells out his name and whatnot.
Okay, here, what I want you to do, Steve.
Uh-huh, sure.
Next time you're on vacation with your lady, okay. Start chatting up a 14-year-old girl. And see if she says anything about it. And then you can just say, it's innocent.
It's innocent.
Well,
you
want
to watch Lolita?
I brought the leeches.
God, it's disgusting.
Well, it's also weird because, like, Sandy's like, what is she saying to you? And he's like, she says that you're very beautiful. She wants to know if you're my sister. And Sandra Bullock's got to be like, oh, let her down easy.
Yeah.
And so like he signs back like it's my girlfriend or whatever. And she's like, harumph. She gets all teen angsty about it.
So Defoe takes over the boat.
Yes.
And at one point I thought, and this is kind of a better movie, like I thought Timor Morrison was his henchman. Because he's like,
yes, yep,
right.
There's
like,
one point where he's
twist.
Like telling him, yeah, he's telling him what to say, or it sounds like he's telling him what to say. Like
that, it makes no sense. What he's doing is like guessing what the conversation's gonna be.
Yeah, but it sounds like he's got an earpiece in, and or like maybe
he probably does just to be fed his lines. this guy's trash.
No, Defoe does have a line into like he is listening
okay.
to them. He's just anticipating what they're going to say.
That's useless.
It sure is. Because I was just as confused. I was like, oh, is he talking to one of them?
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, what
something.
You do in movies. When that's happening, that's like movie language for he's telling him what to
right.
say.
Right, characters communicating.
Yeah, not like I have to guess that he's guessing what they're going to say.
Nope. This is a movie, I guess.
And he takes over the boat, and it's... And now Timor Morrison and then this Scottish guy.
Yeah,
who's an engineer or something.
Some like, young hunk.
Yeah, and it's basically a very Scotty kind of thing. This guy's always talking about the power and what have you.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't notice that. That is kind of weird.
He's looking where the captain might be or not might be.
Right, always looking for the captain.
So he has to have, Willem Dafoe's like, I've got command of this ship, Captain Jango Fett. And now you better take everybody out of here.
That's what's weird.
Evacuate.
The two weirdest things. He doesn't have a team of, like, henchmen.
Yes,
which
needs
he needs
to be super criminals.
They've all got to be crooked.
And it would be great just to up the body count, because, again, that captain died. That's about it.
Killed by Lamp, by the way.
Well, not even killed by Lamp. thrusted into the water by Lamp, and then the most boring death of all, off-screen drowning.
Yeah, just sucked under the boat. Because he is awkwardly, like, when he falls off the boat, he starts, like, swimming toward it. Yeah. And I was like, no, dude, go the other way. Like, yes, you're going to be lost at sea, but the other option is getting sucked under the huge cruise ship and chopped to pieces. That's what happens to that guy.
But also, show me that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know. See, here's the thing. We're dealing with 1997 CGI turbine animation.
That's true.
It's tough. That's some tough aging.
Stick around, chum.
But so, like, yeah, he doesn't have henchmen. And then he's immediately, like, when he takes control of the situation, is like, all right, everybody, now get to safety. And I'm like, no, you're supposed to be the madman. Like, you have to start saying something about, like, I'll execute one person every whatever the fuck. Like, do anything to make him a villain.
And also, here's something. If I'm the parents of a girl with special needs, a deaf girl, and she's like, oh, I'm going to wander the boat, these people get on this life raft immediately. But, like, it's amazing.
Do.
Like, you never leave your deaf or no, nothing. It's just like your kid's away from you and that you have to evacuate the
boat. I don't know, dude. Insurance policy.
But they're like, well, too bad for us. They're like, oh, she's probably in the other lifeboat. Let's just get in this one. I'm like, no.
And that's what kills me. Because, like, yeah, what a gross assumption that, like, well, it's a cruise ship. How far could she go? Well, she could fall overboard. Yep. She could be fucking kidnapped and put in some weirdo's cabin.
Sure.
Anything could happen to this person. They're like, oh, she's just mad at us because the dad, like, shit-talked her outfit and said she looked like a clown.
Which is, good. Wow, great job, Dad.
Yeah, totally.
It's just a little girl wearing a dress.
She's got like a colorful tutu on, and he's like, I will not have this on this fancy cruise we're on.
Yeah, fancy cruise.
Well, I am trying to figure out the level of cruise quality here, because like sometimes it looks pretty shitty, as in you've hired UB40 to be your fucking cruise band. But then on the other hand, we're all wearing tuxedos to dinner and there's like a diamond show.
But this is like 97 or whatever. So like UB40, like the wave had crested, but there was still a little bit of after ripples. UB40.
I don't know, man. Those seas were almost calm. They were all but calm.
Red wine? Come on, guys.
Yep. All but calm.
See, now, you hear that, they come and play that song, you're like, all right, this is a nice time. And then you're like, oh, wait, there's a whole other concert. They're not just...
Yeah, they're not going to just do red wine all the time.
Yeah,
also, it's a fucking 14-night cruise.
What, do you think they're every night?
What? I mean, how many bands you got on there?
This is a hell cruise.
What about David? Maybe David Johansen's on there doing Hot, Hot, Hot.
Oh yeah. Buster Poindexter. Uh-huh.
Now we're talking.
Mm-hmm. Then you just really, kill you. Then you maybe really, you kill yourself.
Wait. Buster Poindexter is better than UB40?
Well, maybe he's going to do some New York Dolls tunes while he's there, too. He doesn't have to be Buster Poindexter the whole time.
I guess.
You know who's fucking themselves the whole time? UB40.
Well, where are those dolls, man? If he's there, I want the dolls there.
Just do solo show.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Color Me Bad shows up.
Here's the thing. Are we, like, helicoptering in other acts?
Well, they did in Under Siege, and it turned out to be terrorists.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That really blew up in their face.
Right. Who would buy Tommy Lee Jones as a rocker?
Yeah, that was pretty foolish of them to let him aboard. But that's a movie that's like terrorists on a boat, and I'm paying attention.
Absolutely.
And it's good. God, you know, like, you really get the ins and outs of the boat. I know, put down the tweet. I know it's a different kind of boat. But show me something of this boat. I honestly feel like I don't know anything.
You know what we are shown in this movie? The cruise director, played by the same actress who plays Lucy Moran from Twin Peaks.
Oh, right.
She's just there doing her like little high-pitched voice the whole time.
But here's something. So everybody's getting evacuated.
Yes.
And like Jason Patrick's like, oh, no, this is too easy or something.
Well, because Steve, it turns out, he's like a master detective.
Uh-huh.
And he's, you know what he's got? A whiff of something foul. But, most foul.
And this is the only other time that people die in the movie is like, people are, the mother of the girl who's missing is like, oh, let me off the boat. Let me off the life raft. And she shakes it and like four people fall to their deaths.
Oh, yeah.
And the dad's like, that's not your fault, honey. That's not your fault. I'm like, dude, that's your fault, honey. First of all, you shouldn't be in that boat, first of all.
There's some other like stipulation that Defoe sets up where he's like, you have such and such amount of time to get these people. Like he stops the boat and he's like, you have such and such amount of time to get these people off the boat before I start it again. And the like Temuera Morrison, I think it is, has the line like, oh, we can't like be lowering these things when the boat is moving. And they dick around for so long that Defoe starts the boat up again.
Well, and this I'm just gonna, you know what? You got 10 minutes for the bathroom. I'm starting the car.
Exactly. So it's like this boring action sequence where Jason Patrick's like saving like this cruise photographer that we have to meet.
Dante, the cruise photographer.
Oh, yeah. God. He definitely says something about like at the beginning of the movie, he takes their picture and he's like, and remember me, my name is Dante. And I'm like, yeah, remember me for later in the movie. Please, God, let me be in the movie more.
Well, Sandra Bullock's like, no, it's Dante. Like he's hanging off.
Well, this, I guess it worked. You're right.
This is the movie entering like a black hole. This like abyss. Like kill Dante. Have something happen.
Because who cares?
That old lady bites it. The
in sparkle, Titanic?
Sparkle motion.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, that's sorry, more, that's the long game.
You know what? The Titanic finally caught up to her, Steve.
No one gets away from the Titanic.
That's a creepy ending to that movie. It's, you've always been here.
Right, yeah.
It is kind of a you've always been here slash like we've been waiting for you this whole time.
Like, it's like the Shining with the portrait.
Exactly.
Also, she went to hell, right? Like that's what happened.
She went straight to hell.
Do you think they have to reenact the sinking of that ship for all eternity?
Yes, every night.
Definitely, yeah.
Why are they all in hell? I mean, I can understand Kathy Bates and Billy Zane being there.
Well, Leonardo DiCaprio.
David Warner is in there. David Warner's ready to kill on that boat.
Yes. Now, Leonardo DiCaprio is in hell because he commits suicide in the end by letting go of the plane.
Yep, that's right.
Oh, you're right. That's a cardinal sin.
Yeah, kind of a technicality.
And she goes to hell for letting him.
So exactly,
It's a double whammy.
Oh, she goes to hell for throwing away precious jewels.
Also for premarital sex in that car. It was pretty steamy.
Oh, yeah. That's the steamiest window in all of cinema.
It looked great, but you paid for it.
So Billy Zane goes on a boat with his girlfriend. And he's like, you know what? I better get this professional assassin to hold our bags. Like, what is David Warner's deal in that movie?
I don't know, but he's probably killing people with piano wire on the mainland,
well,
right?
Well, he's just there to kill Irish, I think, is the idea. It's like, in case any of the Irish get a little rickety on the boat.
Any of them Irish Catholics, get them away from me, says Billy Zane in Titanic.
So there's a lot of back and forth. We're going all around the boat. I mean, like...
And it's all just boring.
Apparently, the boat is going towards... It's going 20 knots an hour, which is just like... I don't know. I don't know what...
I don't know boat speeds.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. 50 miles an hour in a fucking bus, I got it.
Yep.
And I mean, like, it's... The problem with a boat is it's so big you don't feel that speed.
You don't notice any of the kinetic energy. Yeah, you're right. Like
it's like, oh my God, the planet's spinning much faster now. Like, I don't know, man. Like you got me.
Yeah, it's just the fact that this is a sequel to Speed. Like,
and how are there no sharks?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. On the boat or just in general?
I'm just on vacation. Oh, they got us down here with the Irish. Let's dance. I call this one a fin jig. I'm a dancing shark. 24-hour buffets and a casino. I'm in shark heaven.
Well, yeah, or I was thinking like they circled the boat at one point. That's an adventure.
Well, the boat would have to be stopped for that.
Oh, right,
and then that's like definitely no speed.
Well, you get...
If you're at 0 knots, dude, as the movie lets me know later, 0 knots is no speed.
But maybe like all these people get chomped up in the blades of the propeller and then
chum trail.
Yeah, chum trails.
Speed 2 chum trails.
It's a conspiracy about chum trails. And then all the sharks come, and then I guess you would have to stop the boat.
Well, I think that's like Deepwater 3 : chum trails.
Open water.
Oh, open water. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Open water 3 : chum trails. That's what it could be. Like, we like, killed... Oh, that's what it is. It's the mafia, and they're out on a boat, and they fucking kill somebody, like, big pussy, and they saw him up and start throwing him overboard, and then the sharks start following the chum trails. Then the boat breaks down. They somehow all fall in the water.
Right.
Open water three, calling chum trails.
You know what you got is a treatment.
I better go type this up. I'll be right back.
That is great. None of them know how to repair the boat because they're just Italian mobsters.
Absolutely.
Yep. And then, dude, sharks versus mafia. It's the biggest untapped market.
You're totally right.
A new shark movie coming out this summer, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, and it kind of looks cool.
Oh, wait. Well, there's like that girl surfing, and it's like, uh-oh, I can't get out of here now.
It's What's-Her-Face from Green Lantern, I believe.
Oh, Blake Lively.
I think it's Blake Lively.
I think
it is,
too, yeah.
She goes surfing, and then like she gets stuck on a rock, and there's like a shark fucking with her. And I got to tell you, bravo to this trailer. You see a dude just being eaten alive in the trailer.
It was a good trailer. I actually thought it was an open water sequel.
I did too. When I was like,
Well, you know what? Chum Trails coming next summer. Direct to Amazon streaming. But
if that movie does well, there'll definitely be Chum Trails. And honestly, if you're interested in making Chum Trails, weallhatemovies@gmail.com.
Totally. We will get to work on this screenplay. You finance it.
Yeah.
Hey. We got yourself a direct-to-DVD movie.
I mean, Steve Sharip is down the block, literally right now. I think I saw him at the pizza place on the way up here, so like I could grab him.
Yep. No,
he's in Chum Trails.
You know what my... I was about to say my favorite part of this movie, but let's not get nuts, Andrew. So there's like all these rich people get stuck in a hallway or some such business, and it's like heating up. So they all start, like, taking off their clothes for some reason. You remember this?
Oh, yeah.
So everybody's just getting naked.
You
and
hear
the
that, boys?
The fat guy from Friends is, like, pissed off that he's got to, like, take his shirt off or whatever. And he points to this, like, singer on the cruise, and he's like, hey, why isn't she having to take her pants off or whatever? And she's like, because I'm not wearing any underwear, Harvey. And, like, the camera, like, sort of tilts down.
Oh, yeah.
And this woman, like, pulls her dress up and like hisses at this man. I don't understand why this needs to be in Speed 2 Cruise Control.
Well, they're blocked in a hallway and like poisonous gas is coming in. So they
Gas. Oh, they're trying to stuff up. Yeah.
Which, I mean, like at that point, I'm getting naked in public. If me taking my dress off is going to stop this poisonous gas,
What does clothing have to do with it?
Because they're stuffing up the vents.
Oh.
They're trying to block off all the vents.
But then I almost called her Chandy Bullock, but she is Chandy Bullock at this point because she has a chainsaw.
Yes.
She goes Leatherface on the door.
It's just so, because the gag then, you know, she cuts the hole in the door and she's like, do you think you guys can fit through? And like, she's still running the saw in like, this dude's face.
God damn it. Like, you don't even know how to do this.
Also, I don't need to be, you know, forced into laughter in Speed 2 Cruise Control.
You laughing yet?
So towards like the middle-ish end of this movie is...
God, all fucking 2 hours and 5 minutes.
The boat is now finally getting close to a oil tanker, right? It's about to hit an oil tanker, and like Jason Patrick's like, we should probably stop it. And like everyone's like, yeah, you're probably right, Jason Patrick.
And eventually he gets in pursuit of Willem Dafoe, who apparently now has like this power glove that he can hack the doors and shit.
Dude, so fucking stupid.
It is a power glove.
And when did this cruise ship get Star Trek doors?
Yeah, it's a bunch of
beep, boop, bop, and it just like hisses close. And I'm just like, wait, what? No, like no fucking power doors in this movie, please.
It's ridiculous.
And he's like laughing at Dafoe, or he's laughing at Jason Patrick. Jason Patrick's got a shotgun on this guy. You know what? This dude's like taking over the cruise ship. How about some buckshot to those feet?
Just do it. He doesn't do it. And then it's just like you get that witch laugh, right? And the door closes, and that's Jason Patrick's one weakness, apparently. Just shotgun the fucking door.
Yeah, you're totally right. Keep going after him. You have that shotgun.
And he's later thwarted by doors, too, when we have the grenade sequence.
Yes. Oh, right. Willem Dafoe, like, locks him in, like, a dance club or something.
Like, he locked him in a chamber of doors. And you'll never get out of there because there are doors.
And I locked all the doors with grenades. I had my leeches do it. Go get them, boys.
See, that's another reason why it's so obnoxious that he doesn't have a team of henchmen, because he has to do everything.
And when did he do this?
He's like, the whole movie is Willem Dafoe running around with a backpack laughing.
Well, because he also, by the way, in the gala scene, the cruise director is like, who wants to see $17.5 million worth of jewels that are on this boat? Wait, why? We've got UB40 and an excessive amount of jewels.
Yeah, it's a diamond fashion show, and I don't get it. They didn't have this on the big red boat. I mean, it's the only cruise I went on, but I didn't see any diamond jewelry show, man.
And that's what Willem Dafoe puts in this enormous backpack.
It's a real, like, hefty-duty L.L. Bean. You could fucking hike Everest in this thing.
What I was getting at is when Tamar Morrison breaks one of his arms, because he winds up breaking both of his arms in this movie, which is kind of funny.
With the line, I think I broke me other arm. Slow clap for this screenplay.
Oh,
I mean, like, the ending of this movie-ish, right? Is, I mean, like, the boat's going towards the thing.
They're trying to slow it down.
They're trying to slow it.
By, like, wrapping stuff around the propeller.
Yeah.
Sure, that's a scene with a whole bunch of outdated computer animation.
And again, like, Willem Dafoe has the jewels. He's disgraced this boat enough. Yet he's like, oh no, he's gonna not crash the boat. That's gonna ruin my plan. And it's like, what? Just get on and he knows where the escape boat is, right?
Right.
Like, it's a little jet ski thing that he's gonna get on eventually. Just get on it now and just be done with it.
But he keeps like getting these notifications like, oh, no.
Oh, now this happened. Now they're making progress here and they're doing this. And even
well,
like,
how do you get through that door?
Who cares?
Oh, no, my leeches.
Got to go back for the boys. No!
Gotta catalog this erection.
one of the funny scenes was when Jason Patrick finally gets to Defoe's cabin and opens it up, and it's just this tub of leeches floating around. Yeah. And they just show us a tub of leeches. It was the one legitimate laugh.
I would have loved it though if we had to go back for the boys. The boys and the composition notebook he's been using as his boner catalog since late 87.
Right, it's got like a Zeppelin sticker on it.
Oh, well, no, I'm thinking. I mean, like, literally, you got to think about it. This would be like, you know, Kevin Spacey's notebooks in Seven. There's thousands of them somewhere.
Oh, right, yeah.
I got an erection on the bus today. That's it.
How is it also not a thing where like? Where, like, Willem Dafoe was, like, friends with Dennis Hopper.
Sure, or something.
Why not?
Because I guess, like, since Keanu isn't reprising his role.
Oh, no, he was my father.
You killed my dad!
Yeah.
I mean, sure. The problem is he would go after Keanu. Keanu's the one that killed...
That's true.
Killed Dennis Hopper in that movie. Yeah. And Sandy was just driving the bus.
So Sandy gets kidnapped, right? Because, like, he's like, oh, sure. Well, I know, Jason Patrick, whose name is Alex, by the way, which is not a very, like, it's not Jack. It's not like,
it's
you know.
It's not a commanding, it's basically one of the most boring names you can have. You know, outside of Eric. So I'm just worried about Alex's listening now.
Yeah, that's fine. You should be concerned for all of them.
But he's like, oh, Alex likes you, lady. That's why I'm going to keep you for extra insurance. And it's like, what are you talking? Just get on that fucking boat and leave.
Like, kidnapping
leave
her
this movie.
Guarantees that, like, Jason Patrick's going to go after him.
Yeah. Like nobody cares about these jewels. Nobody even knows about them.
You barely care about these jewels, Willem Dafoe. It's a total, like, oh, diamonds, huh? Okay. Sure, I got room in this huge backpack for some diamonds. Like, that's the thing, like, the great turn about Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Yep.
You think that Jeremy Irons is fucking with Bruce Willis to get revenge for his brother for dropping him out off of Nakatomi, right? And then, like, it's, no, that's just a thing to, you know, the cover for, like, stealing the gold.
Yes.
That's cool. Like, if this...
Somebody had fun.
Holy Toledo! Better movie. Die Hard with a Vengeance, better movie. But, like... The boat, there needs to be a line about, like, the captain says to, like, Tamar Morrison, like, by the way, on, you know, this, you know, this outing, we're also carrying $1 billion or what, like what, anything.
Sure.
Because I got fucking fired from the cruise ship company and they didn't pay for my leech insurance. Like, not a reason to be a villain in an action movie.
No.
Getting fired is not a reason to be a villain in an action movie.
Yeah, that's the Alex of motivation.
That's fucking Michael Douglas in Falling Down.
So Alex, Sandy goes one way. Alex is going another way, which is into St. Thomas or St. Martin.
St. Martin.
Yeah. And this is the most expensive stunt in the movie, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, cool.
The boat just kind of goes into St. Martin's, and it takes forever. Like, there's like 12 different running gags of people like...
Oh, my God, these gags.
These people deserve to die.
There was a guy like...
Every last one of them.
I'm not, you could tell the day's been going on a while already. There's people mulling around the boardwalks and whatnot. This dude walks up to his store window. He's like, it's open. Oh, is that a boat coming through town? Closed.
Dude, all those gags. There's the gag with the woman on the payphone who's like not even acting. Like, she doesn't physically say anything. It's all ADR. And she's just like, I need you to get to... Whoa! And it's like, dude, you would see and hear this boat from yards out.
And then there's like some woman being shown an apartment. And this is when we get our classic, which is our favorite gag in all movies, is, Mommy, there's a something outside.
Oh, sure.
Oh, Jeremy, shut up.
A Godzilla, a cruise ship, whatever you want to throw at this kid.
And again, like, to your point, Andrew, like, they're just showing an apartment. You hear a fucking boat crash into St. Thomas or St. Martin's, everything's stopping.
And it's so stupid that it's the same gag like 12 times.
And even before that, there's people like just swimming in the bay and they're like, oh no, it's the boat. Like, run. You know what? Just get out of the way.
This boat didn't just randomly turn off a cloaking device.
It's been it's not a Klingon sea boat.
It also, 15 minutes prior to hitting ground, smashed into an oil tanker and like rubbed up against it. Everyone would hear that. It's not that far away. How no one thought of any of this.
And also, wouldn't it like scrape the ocean or sea floor a little bit or whatever leading up to?
Yes. Yeah. Right.
Oh, most
that would stop at first. Yeah.
Yeah. Or at least slow it down a little bit.
At least slow it down. And you've got like, this is, you know, like the boat's coming in and this is the way you realize like it's slowing down. You see like the little knotometer and the Scottish guy's reading it and he's like, 15 knots! And he's like, you know, shaking and everything.
She can't handle this pressure, Captain.
I know. But it's also like he's doing it for no one's benefit. Like, no one else in the room is like, 12 knots, 4 knots. And it's like, who are you talking to?
3 knots!
Okay, like,
he's shaking, man. It's crazy. Also,
this is when Tamar Morrison breaks his other arm.
I think I broke me other arm.
Oh, good thing I got a clone. I got a bunch of little organ donors. Isn't that right, Boba? My little organ farm.
Limb donors.
Also included in this, a fat guy carrying groceries.
Perfect.
Who the anchor like falls onto his convertible and he has the line, my car. A dog who should be dead but somehow gets out alive. And the biggest who was asking for this of this movie is a reprisal of the guy from the first movie with the sports car.
Good Lord.
Is down here, and he's got this boat, and he's, like, entertaining a lady. And, like, it's like, hey, remember how much you like this guy in Speed 1? Well, he's back. But also had no interaction with Sandra Bullock in the first movie, so it can't even be a not you again.
It should be Alan Ruck.
Yes! Why not? He was probably available.
Alan Ruck's always available.
But this guy, like, I'm supposed to be, like, hooting and hollering in the theater because expensive car guy from the first movie is back and becomes an integral part of the end of the film because he's helping Jason Patrick out. Jason Patrick steals his sports boat.
And he's like, oh, no, you got to give me a receipt for that because that didn't work out well last time. And everyone's like, yep, Craig.
Oh, my God, dude.
And, it's like, Sandra so Bullock stupid. Is, like, smacking Willem Dafoe around. Willem Dafoe smacking Sandra Bullock around.
Oh, it's a real slap fight.
And it's like, dude, let this woman go.
Just throw her off and throw her speed off. Away.
Yeah, you've got your jewelry. He gets out of, and then he gets in an airplane, and she's still smacking right. him, and he's like, well, you better come with me.
Like, you need some kind of right. line of dialogue.
Well, he's giving a bunch of one-liners like, are you enjoying your vacation so far? And it's like, what are you talking about?
How do you like it on the high seas, Spider-Man?
So on this plane, then they start doing their Death Star run. And Han Solo comes out of nowhere in a speedboat. God damn, fuck this movie, dude. It is so long. Kid. It is so long, and there's so, like, what are we... We don't need this.
No, we don't need it. So long story short, Jason Patrick, like, is able to get onto the plane. It's like one of those seaplanes, you know. And he just punches Willem Dafoe in the face one time. And, like, one of the, like, float prop things for this plane, like, falls off. And they, you know, like, land back in the water. And Dafoe takes off. And then just crashes into this, like...
It's a pretty good crash.
It's a cool crash, but it's like the heroes of the film have nothing to do with the villain's demise.
Yeah, that's
the
true.
First movie is Keanu Reeves fucking props him up, decapitated, I'm taller, right. awesome one-liner, pretty cool. This but movie, they're watching yeah. him from afar crash the plane.
Because everyone's nice guys, including the villain, who's like, oh, everyone get out, have a nice vacation, I'm sorry.
I apologize for doing this, I got fired for getting blood cancer.
Take a leech on your way out.
You know, here's a diamond. I don't need all these diamonds. I'm not going to live.
Give the boys a good home, huh? Buy them something nice with all these diamonds I'm giving you.
I leave $17.4 million to my leeches.
The lawyer, like, can't figure it out. He's like, who are the boys?
Oh, my God. So what? He's stuck on this oil tanker.
Yeah, he crashes the plane into, like, some sort of big antenna thing.
Right. And then for some reason, that just blows everything.
You up. Sort of see, like, gas dripping. He's laughing his balls off. And then he blows up. And Jason Patrick can, like, barely be bothered to look up at it.
He really can't.
And then it's just like, we're back on this dude's boat. And my God, does he finally pop the question.
Oh.
And I'm cheering in the theater.
No, the line that I love is, he goes, you should do the vacation plans from now on.
Oh, man, that's a joke in a fucking John Candy movie is what that is. And then, like, it just, like, as if it's, like, a bad episode of Magnum P.I., the credits are just, like, directed by Jan de Bon. It's like, wow, this is all just really terrible.
Am I the only one that got the stinger scene?
No, with Tim Conway? I got it.
Oh, where he's got the Infinity Stones?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's annoying because it's like she's back taking this driver's test and she's, again.
But also, like, I should have mentioned this earlier, but why is she presented as such a terrible driver? She was driving a fucking bus.
A great driver in the first movie.
It would be great if she had a line like, I can only handle buses. I can't get used to this pedestrian transportation.
Oh, no, she keeps running into baby carriages. Like, oh, I thought it was just cans.
Oh, God, Jack told me it was just cans. I thought cans went in those.
I've killed 15 kids in Los Angeles. I'm sorry, Alex. I'm going to jail.
Well, also, I mean, that brings up a thought. This vacation wouldn't even happen because after this wild goose chase that she puts the police on at the beginning of this movie.
She's going to jail.
And then destroys police property. Like, I don't care that you're sleeping with someone on the Suicide Squad, man. Yeah. You're going to jail. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
You're certainly not leaving the country.
No, absolutely not. I've seen 1,000 episodes of Law and Order.
And you're not getting your license.
Also, yeah, like, Tim Conway has a line at the beginning, like, you're never going to drive in this state or whatever. And it's like, here we are, and I'm just fucking chuckling while I'm putting my jacket on in the theater.
Oh, I bet there was some line in the first movie about, like, that's why I take the bus.
Yeah.
I can't drive, but...
Maybe, yeah.
She learns how in that, and she shouldn't be terrible.
Well, did you get the gag, though, at the end? Like, so it's like... Tim Conway's like, oh, here we go again. And she's like trying to pull out into the traffic. She's like taking a left out of this parking lot.
Yeah.
And she's like waving at cars to stop or whatever. And then it cuts to black, and you totally hear a car accident happen.
Oh, yeah. Really? Are they dead at the end of this movie?
I don't know, dude. That's the thing. I guess save it for the sequel that never happened.
Or was this scene actually from the start of the movie, and they've been dead the whole time?
Now, that's a fan theory I can get behind.
Yeah, I think so.
It's just the last thing you hear before, like, bad fart rock comes on is, like, a car accident
sound. It's just all her subconscious firing, like, oh, will Alex ever marry me? And then that's also why you get random shit that makes no sense, like leeches.
Like leeches and chainsaws on cruise ships.
Right, step
like
by step.
Bits of an old bits of an old movie you saw once.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, no, they've been dead the whole time.
That whole, like, I mean, the craziest thing about this movie is, seriously, when she gets kidnapped, her and Willem Dafoe are out of this movie for like a solid 25 minutes.
Yep.
And it's just Jason Patrick manually trying to steer the boat. Like, yeah, they do the whole sideswipe of the oil tanker.
With Jango Fett, like, watching.
Well, he broke his arm and he broke his other arm.
God, what a useless piece of shit.
It's so fucking terrible. I mean, that's the movie. Would anybody recommend it?
Not at all. No. I would recommend a superior film called The Uninvited from 1988. It's a cruise movie wherein a cat, a genetically engineered cat with a rat in its mouth.
Uh-huh.
That, like, kills people.
Uh-huh.
Takes over George Kennedy's cruise.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of worse than what I'm saying, but kind of great. I
need to watch that.
It's a great movie. Yeah, it's this. I don't understand how this thing kills people,
yeah,
but it does.
It's probably something to do with that rat in its mouth.
It does.
Well, I would not recommend this movie either, and I will recommend a better movie as well.
Oh, good.
This one's called Speed.
Yeah. If you haven't seen this for the first Speed, classic action movie, man.
Nice 90s thing. We're on cell phones in that movie. Not a lot of cell phone banter back and forth.
No. Enough, though.
Yeah, enough. No, I mean in this movie.
Oh, yeah. No, there's none.
Yeah.
I would not recommend this movie. I would recommend Ghost Ship.
Really?
Over Speed 2 Cruise Control? Sure. The Poseidon remake? I'd recommend that over this movie.
Yeah, I'd recommend basically anything over this movie.
You know what I'd recommend over this movie? Friday the 13th, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan.
I was kind of wishing I was watching. That movie's a cool 90-something minutes.
Sure.
And honestly, Jason Patrick, Jason Voorhees, you know the winner.
That's Speed 2 Cruise Control, directed by Jan Dabon. For more WHM, check out WHMPodcast.com or find us over at SideshowNetwork.tv. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We are at WHM Podcast. Right into the mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Rate and review the show wherever you get it. We would greatly appreciate your time doing that. Now, next week's episode, the Summer Blockbuster Extravaganza rolls on
with Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
That's a lot of fun.
Little counter programming, getting a little something different. You
little
know?
Family teen comedy.
And honestly, that was a summertime classic in my house.
We love movies.
It just might be. We owned this on VHS in the Jupin household.
Of course you did.
Yeah. I think it might have been a taped off HBO situation.
Yeah.
Don't know that we paid for it outright. So until next week with Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Zadak.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.